Blog Talk Radio.
On tonight's episode of Confession Session,
Sephora stores will be closing soon for diversity training. Ellen DeGeneres' mother did not believe she was being abused by her husband and stayed with him for over 18 years. And Netflix, When They See Us, shows issues African Americans have faced for centuries. What's good, you guys? This is your host, Angel Vondrina.
And I'm your host, Jello Fello, and you are listening to the one and the only Confession Session. Y'all can't do all that yelling today.
Hey. I know y'all all love Jung too. I know y'all love his too. That's all I'm saying, okay? I look forward to it every single episode, okay? Jen, how are you doing? How are you doing? I know you miss us. We miss you so much. I just wish you was here right now in the meal.
I really do miss you all. But today I am so hungover. I went out last night and, yeah, you know, like for the first time, it's been years. And I was just talking shit when we was in Milwaukee because Angelina was like, yeah, April was like saying like how I used to turn up and get drunk and throw up, and I was like, girl, I'm not done that in like
47 minutes. I don't get drunk
at all, child, I got really drunk, and this morning on my way out for work, I threw up, and I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to fall out and sleep in bed. Okay, so that's pretty much all I did was like lay around, and then I watched a few episodes of When They See Us on Netflix, which is what we're going to be talking about shortly, but yes, a nigga.
So did you call in then because you were so hungover?
I did call in, and that was like, I felt bad because it was like last minute, literally like probably like an hour before I was supposed to be at work, and I was just like, I called and I was like, look, I could have literally get ready to leave out to my car, so I can't make it. I'm sorry.
Damn.
So.
Like, bitch, I'm pregnant. I don't feel good, okay? Like, I'm tired, and I'm pregnant. Damn.
You're like, look, I just threw up. Well, you shouldn't have went out last night. Like, that's the kind of...
Oh, Lord.
So.
Yeah, people like that is annoying. But I just want to let you guys know, I'm sorry, go ahead, Jen.
I was just saying, I have to pay attention to my health, because it's up to them, child. Mm-hmm. I was dying with y'all. Okay, so, yeah, what were you saying?
I did not let you guys know. So, this is something that has been talked about for the last couple weeks since Jen has been gone, and I don't think that I've actually mentioned it to Jen off air or just personally on the phone. Jen came to my little sister's house when we celebrated my husband's 30th birthday, and Jen made this punch, okay? Now, this was the best punch, liquor, crazy mixture of alcohol that I feel like everybody, I mean, I think everybody mentioned that the punch was absolutely amazing. One of my girls who actually just met Jen wants him to make that punch for her wedding. So it is so amazing. And Jen, I don't think I said thank you for that. That was the best punch that I've ever had in my life. You couldn't
Welcome.
Even taste
now,
the liquor,
that,
but you felt faded.
That's why I do for a living. I'm a bartender, so, you know, I love to make cocktails.
It's
especially
crazy.
Like the kind of cocktails that I make. I enjoy making cocktails that have, like, a lot of liquor, but don't taste aggressive or assertive. Like, I like making old man drinks, but they don't taste like old man drinks. So,
it was crazy.
But it tastes like juice. You know, and that's what I like doing. So
it tastes like juice, y'all. Like, for real. It was so good. And I'm looking for, I hope that Jen makes this punch every time I see his ass, because that shit was good. And I think it was all gone. Like, not even halfway through the party. Like, it was all gone. Everybody's like, oh, I guess we have to have some other liquors in now, because all Jen's punch is gone. What do you call this punch?
I don't know. Well, listen to Brittany. What she said? Fuck it up, punch. Fuck it up, punch.
Fuck it up, punch. You know, fuck it up, punch.
Because it's funny because Chris was like, I want to say, like, was it last week? I don't know. Yeah, probably like last week or whatever. Or whenever we got back and he wants to take something to drink over to his aunt's house. And he was like, hey, can you make that fucking up punch again? Or can you tell me the recipe?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Yes. That's popping. That's popping. That, yes. Between your fuck it up punch and my little sister Angelina, her fucking shish kebabs. Okay. I don't even know what's going on there. That it was just crazy. It was so funny because I remember asking Chris, I was like, Chris, are the shish kebabs good? And he was just like, one more time. And I was like, are the shish kebabs good? He was like, huh? I was like, are the shish kebabs good? He was like, oh, hell yes. I'm like, yes. Like, he was like, the meat is so moist. The chicken is perfectly seasoned. I'm like, it is perfectly seasoned, okay? So I just had a real good time. And I am reminiscing, y'all. I'm totally reminiscing because I just can't wait to see Jen again. It's going to be definitely this December, you know, not 3 years like it was last time. We just had such a good time. But anyways, you guys, I've been having a really fun day. My husband, he actually just hurt himself playing laser tag in a house with my son, you know, just acting crazy. The twins have been good. They are finally over their sicknesses and their colds. So they've been just eating and sleeping. And they will be 1 year old next month, which is crazy because I remember telling you guys, like, oh, I'm pregnant. They'll be one next month. Next month?
That's insane.
There'll be one next month, yes. I know. It's crazy. And they lazy as hell. They won't crawl for shit, okay? But I remember Giovanni, he wouldn't crawl either. And he started walking 2 weeks before he turned 1 year old. So I'm hoping that's what happened with the twins. They start walking a couple weeks before they turn 1 year old, you know, getting into everything. But yes, y'all, my babies, they be 1 year old next month. And it's crazy. Time has really flown. And in 2 weeks, we going to Vegas. We having a good-ass time, getting litty as hell, so I'm looking forward to that. It is a lot of hot in next week also. Next week, Wednesday, in like 3 days, my little sister's 24th birthday, so I'm super excited about that, too. It's just so much positive shit going on and just happiness and all of that good stuff. So I'm just looking really forward to having some fun and going out in Vegas, just having a good time, you know. I wish Jim was coming, but, you know, we're going to mix them there. We're going to definitely have like 6 or 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 drinks for you, okay? So anyways, you guys, don't forget to check us out on Instagram, YouTube, SoundCloud, Anchor, and, of course, this podcast, Blog Talk. Send us those confessions at confessions2us@gmail.com. Like, comment, rate, and subscribe. And don't forget, you guys, tag us in that drama. All right, Jim, why don't you go ahead and hit them with that confession question of the day after the sparkle.
All right, confession question. If you're in a relationship and your partner, after some time of being together, mentioned they're too tired for sex, what does that mean? And how is too long to go without sex? Again, if you're in a relationship and your partner, after some time of being together, mentions they're too tired for sex, what does that mean? And how long is too long to go without having sex? And let's get to those confessionals with Angel Londrina.
All right, y'all. Okay, guys, so according to hotnewhiphop.com, Sephora is making a company-wide change following the incident which happened at the Clabbers location, I believe it's Clabbers location, with TED songstress SZA. As you may recall, SZA called out Sandy Sephora for having her followed to the store and calling the damn police out of belief that she was stealing. The racial profiling incident led to a whole lot of outrage on social media, which users called for the boycott of Sephora. And since SZA was simply attempting to purchase her Fenty Beauty, Rihanna herself chimed in with a gift card which cited, "Go buy Fenty in pieces." Ever since the ordeal occurred, Sephora has been doing major damage control. Now, according to USA Today, Sephora is planning on closing all of its stores on Angelina's birthday, my little sister, June 5th, which is Wednesday, to place workers in a sensitivity and diversity training. The initiative was prompted by SZA's incident and will hopefully serve to prevent any similar incidents from happening in the future. Approximately 16,000 employees will be trained on the brand's value, which includes based on a released statement building a community where diversity is expected, because the makeup supply company believes in championing all beauty. Moreover, the training will not only take place in the retail stores, but also at the distribution and corporate levels, as it should. I think this is really good. I think that them closing down for one entire day is good. They're losing a ton of money, and they're, you know, paying a lot of money for the training because the workers, they're off the clock. So that, to me, shows that they are, you know, they're looking to change how people have been trained. You know, this is definitely a necessity. And I feel like more people who have been in a situation like Gucci and other stores, they need to follow by, you know, they need to follow their lead, because this is extremely necessary. Joe, what are your thoughts?
I agree. I definitely appreciate that they are doing the diversity training, and they are getting ahead of, you know, the backlash of what's to come to Sephora. Because a lot of times I don't feel like, you know, you should necessarily blame the corporation right away. You know, I think you kind of have to wait for their response. Now, if they're, you know, if they would have been like, she was given suspicious characters because she has a jogging suit, and, you know, and she was not really asking questions and whatever, and since the product is looking crazy, then yeah, I would say it's time to boycott. But, you know, them saying that they feel like there should be some sort of letting people know that's not okay, I think it's dope. It's funny because on the Shade Room just now, like maybe like an hour or two ago, they reposted a girl saying how a nurse had mentioned at her job, I'm assuming she works in like a hospital nursing home type of situation, and a nurse mentioned to their director that complained about her coworker's hair because she had box braids, and she said that that's too long and aggressive or something like that for for patients. It was something to that effect. Like, it basically saying her hair's gonna give me away to patients. And so their director wrote her up and sent her to HR for diversity training. So I think that's like
really dope.
Yeah. I think that's really dope for them, because it's just like a lot of times you gotta stay in your fucking lane. Like, that is, people need to learn to act their wage, you know what I'm saying, and not really, you know, talk about what they feel is important. I feel like even if you felt like the girl was feeling like, bitch, what are you going to do? Are you LP? Like, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like a lot of shit is just above me, child. I just try to do my best at, you know, making my drinks and keeping, you know, guests and my clients happy, and that's it. Don't ask me about shit else. I'm not trying to interject myself in anybody else's situation. And this is another time of, like, what we say. I get so annoyed with people who work at, you know, these quote-unquote high-end stores. We've heard of Sephora, you know, like it's this girl, YouTube, which I kind of get annoyed with her because I forgot the girl's name. But I feel like she's problematic in a way, because she goes into stores and sometimes they're not even doing anything, and she's just like, basically, like, I was about to spell, like, someone, like, and it's just like, girl, you've been so extra. But it has been times where
she's black?
No, she's Hispanic, but in my opinion, she looks white. Like, she looks like a pretty, like, you know, Kardashian type, you know. But, yeah, she'll go into high-end stores. Like, she'll go to the Gucci store. And then she was like, security was following me, security. And they literally was like barely looking at her. Like, I'm just like, girl, calm down. But it hasn't she goes into stores and she'll be like right next to a group of, you know, employees at the highest store, and they'll straight just be paying her no mind, straight ignoring her, like not trying to help her at all. You know, so, you know, Sephora, they need to work on that. Because at the end of the day, it's just like, y'all fucking up y'all commission. How do you know people ain't going to buy something? Because me, I feel like I'm one of the people, like, if somebody's aggressive enough and it's not too expensive, I'm probably going to buy it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just so people will leave me alone. I hate that I'm like that. And that's why Chris is always like, when he's with me, he just be like, baby. Like, cause I remember one time I was at the mall, and I'm really glad I did get the, it was like this face wash or something like that. But the face wash was like $200. I was like, I'm not paying $200 for that. And so he kept going, and he was just like, did he grab me like, or something like that? It was like, as I was trying to leave, he was just really, really pushy, really pushy. And I was like, I can't do 200. And he was like, how about 100? I was like, I can't do that. And then he was like, look, I give you 50. You need to take, I give you 50. And I was just like, fuck it, give it to him. Like, but I'm really glad I did get the face wash because it did work really good, you know. But at the same time, like, don't be like that. Don't be like that, motherfucker. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's okay to sit and approach guests and learn guests, and because they may not buy something this time or you feel like they can't afford it. You don't know. You don't, especially at a mall. You cannot look at somebody until they have money. Like, I'm not going dressed up to the nines everywhere I fucking go. And I feel like a lot of times people that do shit like that are broke. You know what I'm saying? They're broke. So you should want to assist people and not interject your own opinion, your own broke-ass opinion into what you feel about somebody.
I agree. And not only that, John, I feel like there are people who are also rude, who's not willing to help, you know. Usually, you know, we stopped going to Walmart for a long time. We haven't gone to Walmart for about a year and a half now. We go to Meijer because it's up the street from our house. And they always have, like, these really good deals, and they have items in the store that Walmart doesn't have, like Solar Bread, you know, which is a low-carb bread. So, like, yesterday, and we literally, and I'm not exaggerating, we get everything from Meijer. I get my eyelashes from there. We get our Pampers from there. We get the wipes. We get everything in our food, you know what I'm saying, tissue, everything. So we spend, you know, a cool $900+ a month. You know, we just spent $200+ just yesterday. And I'm really second-guessing going back to Meijer because of one incident that happened yesterday. But also you have to think about, like, you know, you can't blame the whole entire – well, hold on. You can't blame the whole store because you have a fucked-up-ass employee. So my husband, he was looking for the Baby Dove because we ran out of Baby Dove for our twins. And they didn't have bath day yesterday, but today is bath day. They go – they take their bath every other day. And so we seen a guy – and we were like, hi, you know, the Baby Dove has been moved. Do you know where it's been moved to? And he was like, what? And he was like, we were like, well, the Baby Dove has been moved. Do you know where we can find it? And he was like, well, I'm busy. I'm helping somebody else. And I was like, oh, well, I guess you need to go ask somebody else then. He was like, sorry, and walked away. I was like, damn. Like, are you fucking kidding me? And what you don't know is that it's this woman who works there, and she's one of the managers there. You know, she's black. She's one of the managers. She loves my twins. I see her all the time. Every week we see her. She's always there every Saturday. We go every Saturday. And I was like, damn, like, I'm about to let her know. And lo and behold, she was there. You know what I'm saying? I didn't talk to her at that time because she was helping out, I guess, training a new employee or whatever on the register. But I was just like, wow, that's crazy. Like, you being rude. So you can't sit up here and be like, oh, this is that, this, you know, maybe look over here, or you can't just like, well, let me call somebody for you. Just, I'm busy. I'm helping somebody else. What the fuck? Like, what should, hell, maybe I don't need to send my $900 cash here every goddamn month. Like, actually, I can go somewhere else and spend this goddamn money. Hell, I don't even want to spend the money. Shit, y'all got self-checkout and all this other shit. You better be lucky motherfuckers ain't stealing this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So this is really frustrating me, and my husband was pissed off. Like, is he serious right now? I'm like, well, I hope he ran. I was like, you should have got his name because that motherfucker was extra rude, you know? So it's really just about the way you present yourself to people. And, you know, if you do want to go ahead and check, make sure somebody ain't stealing, motherfucker, first of all, y'all got security cameras. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to be doing all of that. So this whole incident with SZA was extra, extra, extra. And I, like I said, once again, I'm glad that they're doing a whole diversity training. And now I'm thinking that a couple of employees at Meijer need to be doing the same thing because that really pissed me off. But anyways, you guys, we're going to go ahead and move on to our next topic of the evening.
All right, y'all, next topic. And let me find it. And it's the course of the ShadyRoom.com. The power of storytelling can create a movement, and that's exactly what Ava DuVernay has done with the hit Netflix limited series When They See Us. Those who have watched the powerful series have been inspired to get justice for the men by attempting to take down the women who infamously prosecuted them. The real-life prosecutor Linda Fairstein has gone on to become a New York Times best-selling author for her crime novels, and now social media users want retailers, including Amazon and Barnes & Noble, to pull her books in light of the series. A viral post with the title Justice for the Central Park Five is being shared by influencers and across social media, asking people to call their local bookstores and ask for Fairstein's books to be removed. The post says, Linda Fairstein went on to become a successful author after she coerced and convicted five innocent boys of a crime they did not commit. These boys sat in prison and lost their youth inside of a broken system. Call your local bookstores and ask to move this woman's books off the shelves. The post has been shared by several celebrities, including Yandy Smith and Jonathan from the Love & Hip Hop franchise. Oof. What do you think? Have you watched? Well, you don't have Netflix, so I know you haven't seen when they
I
see
don't.
Us. But
I don't
are,
have Netflix, but remove them. Remove them. Remove them. Remove the books, bitch. Remove them. And it shouldn't be an issue. You know, it shouldn't be an issue for the books to be removed. The books are, you know, unless you want to go ahead and reclass those books as, you know, that they're not real, that the whole everything that she is talking about is fake, you know, then she needs that they need to go ahead and remove the books because it's, you know, she is really defaming these individuals, you know, promoting them as criminals when they're not. And it's heartbreaking that these individuals, they had to go through this. You know, that's crazy. And it happens so often. It happens so much. I mean, we see this shit every single day. But, like, bitch, you couldn't sit up here and write a whole book and lie in the goddamn book? Pull the book. That's my opinion. And if the books aren't poor, hell, maybe they got a lawsuit. What do you think?
Definitely. I feel like, you know, 2019 is the year of stopping bags. You know, if
yes.
she can't publicly and apologize after these boys, you know, have said they're innocent, and they're saying that she still maintains that, you know, their confessions were not coerced and all that. If you all are not familiar with the Central Park Five and when they see us, Ava DuVernay, who's like this amazing director, she did the series with the Khalif Browder story, and she also did I don't fucking know, but she definitely did. have you seen 13?
No, I remember you was telling me about it though, like a year or two ago.
You said you. Oh, but you haven't seen it. Okay, yeah, you need to get Netflix, man. Mm-hmm. Like literally $9 a month, and it's so much.
Okay,
stuff
but I have cable. Okay, which is $250.
Nigga, you
all
have
right,
cable,
so.
But there's nothing on cable. You have cable, but there's nothing to watch on cable. Like there's nothing ever on cable.
This
like,
is not about it. Why are you arguing with me? Why are you arguing with me?
Because you said that we were down there. And I was like, we should watch this. And then I was like, oh, shit, I ain't got what you call it. We should watch it. Oh, shit, I ain't got what you call it. And then you like, but we got cable.
Oh,
I'm like, right, with nothing on there. Nothing but the same five shows.
So you don't have cable? Is that what you're saying? You don't have cable at all? So you prefer to watch Netflix? Cause, you know, I'm ghetto.
Yeah,
I like to watch Netflix. Because
we had cable for like 2 years. We had cable for 2 years when we moved into this house. But we were just like, it's an extra, what, like $70 a month, $75, something like that. And literally, we never watch anything on there. We never watch cable, like ever.
So,
ever,
how,
ever,
okay,
ever.
I'm sorry. Y'all, we started to get off topic, but Jen, real quick. So, how, like, are there new things that come on every day on Netflix? Can you record it? Can you watch it at all times?
Like,
are there limits?
Like, Netflix, I feel like it's like a trifecta of what you should have. And you pretty much should always be able to find shit to watch. And it is Netflix. Who has, like, a lot of original content, you know. They have a lot of great, like, critically acclaimed, like, award-winning series, you know. Because, you know, Netflix back in the day, they used to try and, like, just buy, like, a bunch of old shit. But they would never buy anything good. Mm-hmm. But when they started doing, like, their own original stuff and started, like, doing deals with, like, these powerful, you know, directors and producers and talent, you know, I think Netflix has came a long way. Like, it's so many good things that are on there. Like I said, like, When They See Us, and they have the Khalid Browder story on there, and they have 13th, which was, like, another Netflix original. Beyonce documentary is a Netflix original. There's so many good stuff to watch. Prime Video just has, like, pretty much everything. Like, you know, every movie that you're looking for is going to be on Amazon Prime. Like, it's going to be on Amazon Prime Video. And then Hulu, it's the same thing. They have a lot of really good original content, and they have a lot of, like, old, unknown, you know, movies that people may not necessarily know. It's kind of like how Netflix was back in the day, but better. So I feel like with those three, child, you should have, like, run out of shit to watch. And if there's something that you really want to watch that is on cable, nowadays, if you wait a day, like, it will be on the internet. I know that's kind of illegal, and I shouldn't be saying that, but literally, if you wait, like, if a new show premieres tonight, if you wait the next day until literally, not even 24 hours, you wait, like, a whole 8 hours after the show airs, and you look for that shit on Google, it will pop up. Like, cable is literally worth the money. But back to what I was saying with, like, the Central Park Five. If you all are not familiar, are you familiar with the story at all, Angel?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So this was in 1989. These group of kids, of like 30 kids, went to Central Park and was just reckless and, you know.
Oh,
not
yeah,
really
I am familiar. I am familiar with the story, Jen. I think I've seen it on like one of those Lifetime shows or something like that. I definitely remember the five. I definitely remember that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Let everybody know.
So, I mean, some of the kids were, like, terrorizing, and some of the kids were just bad. Like, it kind of reminded me of, you remember that one year we were at State Fair, and, like, some kids literally just started beating up people?
Yes! Yeah, I do remember that. It was horrible.
Yeah. So, that's, like, it was, like, kind of the same situation, but all the kids were doing that. Some of them just was, like, just out there kicking it, like, okay, let's turn up. But some of them really was fucking shit up. But while this happened, like, I want to say they, like, they were just heckling this couple that was riding their bike through Central Park late at night. And, like, the couple talking about they're terrified, but they didn't do anything to them. They just was, like, yelling at them and shit like that. And then they ended up beating up. They did beat up a guy. But it was a reason why they beat up the guy. I think that it was something about the guy owing somebody money or some shit. Like, I think it had something to do with drugs. Like, and so they beat one guy up, this white guy. And then while all this was going on, like a half hour later, this lady who was jogging through Central Park got beat the fuck up and raped. Like, beat the fuck up and raped. Like, she got beat to the point to where she has, like, double vision. She can barely walk. And she also doesn't have, she can't smell anything. But it's just terrible. Like, what happened to her was very tragic. But they put it on, they were like, it had to be one of the black guys that was hanging out in the park, you know, terrorizing people. And so they randomly had a list of boys, and they were, four of them were like,
they were forced. There was really forced to, like, say that it was them. I remember they were all under the age of 18, maybe all but like a one or two. And I remember that they were forced. They were scared. There was a whole series. They was talking about how it wasn't them, but the police, they was, like, you know, making them sign stuff without their parents being around. And they were, like, just – they were scared. Like, the kids, they were scared. I mean, if you imagine a 60-year-old being questioned by the police, and the police was saying, you know, first they were scared. Then they was there for a long-ass time, too. Like, they was being questioned. So they was tired. They was ready to go home. I remember one guy was like, I just say anything so I can go home. And once I told them that I did it, they pretty much told me, like, you know, you're going to jail for life. I remember that shit was crazy. I'm sorry, go ahead, Jen.
Yeah, no, but that was the gist of it. It was, like, literally they, like, forced them to say whatever. And then it was, like, one boy, they actually beat up, you know, because it was, like, and it was 16. The six-year-old, he got treated, like, he got tried as an adult. They beat him up, and he literally just wasn't even on the list, you know. yet, like, it wasn't even, like, people that came up as being in the park. It was literally just the fact of he was watching over his friend who was, like, a year younger than him. And his mom, he knew, like, his friend's mom was very, like, protective, and she would have blamed him. So he was just like, I'm going to just go to the police station with you to make sure everything's okay. And he ended up getting tied into this, and he had to deal with it the worst. Like, they had him, they tried him as an adult because he was 16. He ended up going into maximum security prison. He ended up serving 11 years when the rest of them served 6 years. It was just really terrible, you know, and for the fact of them all being innocent. And, you know, this bitch is out here just real life, just thriving and just having a good time and making these crime novels when she really was making up shit as she went along. Like, they were telling her, you know, like, that makes no sense. Like, how are they? Central Park is huge. How are they on this side doing all this at 9:15 and at 10 o'clock this girl's over here getting raped? Like, that makes no sense. Like, they,
exactly.
How is it that you got evidence of semen, but the semen don't match none of these boys, and y'all still trying to try these boys? Like, you know what I'm saying? It was just a lot of shit.
Racist.
Was showing, a lot of shit was showing that they didn't do it, and they still just like, no, we're going to keep going, we're going to keep pushing. You know, so it's really fucked up, you know, and it really shows, like, how our justice system is when it comes to black and brown youth. Like, they really, you know, are just like, whatever. You know, behind this white woman who, that was tragic. Like, seeing it and she hearing them talk about it, it was just like, I felt so sorry for that woman. But even now, like, she went on to live her life, and she's released best-selling novels talking about, like, how she does not live with that, you know, that animosity and that anger of what happened to her, which I think is beautiful, you know, that she has moved past it. You know, I don't know if she's ever said anything or reached out to those boys. I really hope she did, you know, behind the fact of them having to suffer for something that didn't happen to her. I mean, that didn't happen, that they did not do to her, you know. But all around, it's just a really sad story. But you all should definitely check it out. Definitely check it out. But, yeah.
I agree. Definitely all check out this story because it is insane. And I'm going to check it out, too. I'm not seeing it, but I definitely am going to check it out. What? Shut up. All right, you guys. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and move on to the next topic. All right, guys. So, according to JenLikesToTalkShit.com, I'm just kidding. According to, this is actually a serious topic. according to VancouverSun.com, Ellen DeGeneres regrets not speaking out about suffering sexual abuse at the hands of her stepfather sooner. The comedian, who's 61, okay, first of all, I did not know that Ellen DeGeneres was 61 years old because she looked good, okay? But she opened up about her ordeal to talk show veteran David Letterman during an episode of his Netflix series, My Next Guest Needs No Introduction, and recalled her mother, Betty DeGeneres, marrying a very bad man when she was just a teenager. It was really horrible. Horrible story. And the only reason I'm actually going to go into details about this is because I don't want any other girls to not let someone know what's going on, Ellen DeGeneres, she pretty much shared. I didn't want to tell my mother because I was protecting her, and I knew it would ruin her happiness. I should have never protected her. The star who hosted the Ellen DeGeneres show since the inception in 2003 had mentioned this abuse before, but she is now opening up in detail, recalling he told me that his mom was out of town, that he felt a lump in her breast and needed to feel my breast because he didn't want to upset her, but he needed to feel mine. The show extended for 3 years. She opened up about the traumatic childhood abuse, and she revealed how the abuse continued. She stated again that she didn't know about bodies that much, and so she didn't know that breasts are different in any way, and like for men, I guess, and so he convinced me that he needed to feel my breast, and then he tried to do it again another time, and then another time, and then he tried to break down my door one time, and I kicked the window out, and ran because I knew that it was going to go further. While the star revealed that her mother did not believe her and stayed with him for 18 years, the couple finally split when she realized that his story kept changing so many times. Despite the traumatic experiences, Ellen insisted the ordeal hasn't affected the pair's relationship and confessed that her mother, Betty, is apologetic for not believing her daughter sooner. I wish I would have been better taken care of. I wish she would have believed me, she reflected, but I always have taken care of her my whole life. So I just kept taking care of her. I didn't really let it get to me, and she apologetic, and she's apologetic, but you know. And that's pretty much where I ended at. Overall, very sad story. I feel like this happened a lot in all families where parents, they don't believe their child when they're saying that something is happening to them. I feel like parents need to open the fuck up, and they need to just be aware, you know. Look at the fucking signs. If you think that you got a good-ass man, you know, I think that I have a great husband. I think my husband is wonderful to our children. But if, you know what I'm saying, something came about to me, I would definitely look into it. I'm not just going to be like, I don't believe you. Just move the fuck out the way. This shit ain't happened. You know what I'm saying? I feel like parents, they need to, you know, if a child, they'd be like, you know, can I come with you today or this and that and the other. Look into it. Why do this child want to come with you instead of going to this place? Why is, you know what I'm saying, they telling you something like this out the blue? Why do you think this, you know what I'm saying, is going on? So it really bothers me that her mom did not believe her. But Ellen DeGeneres at 61 years old, I'm sure, you know, she's like, she's had those moments. She's thought about it. She's just ready to make peace with her mom, and I think that's great. But that's fucked up. Like, you stay with this man for 18 years, and I told you that he was abusing me. That pisses me off. It really does. Jen, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, that is really fucked up. I think that, you know, parents just have to learn, you know, no matter what you think and how amazing you may feel this person is, you got to always just believe your child. Like, don't get me wrong, kids are conniving and they can't do, you know, stuff to, like, if they're not happy with you moving on to a new spouse, I'm sure they might cook up some shit and be a bad person, be annoying, but I can't see no child lying about getting raped or getting molested, you know, just to prove a point. Like, I just feel like that is something that you should definitely, like you said, look into. And, you know, people, if they want to hide some shit, they can. Like, just because you have never seen any signs or you never looked for any signs of this person being abused or this person doing that doesn't mean, like, it can't happen. You know, a lot of times, like, we were just talking about with Ted Bundy the other week, everybody around them said he was charming. He was so handsome. He was this, he was that, he was that, and he was out killing bitches at night.
Mm-hmm.
So you just can't put nothing past nobody. You know, and one of my coworkers told me that when, there was a situation that happened, and I remember I was really sad, really depressed about it because, like, the situation that happened, I could not believe that this person that I knew was capable of doing that, you know. And I remember I asked my coworkers, I was like, do you believe that they really did that? And my coworker was like, yeah. I mean, you can't put them past nobody. Just because you like somebody don't mean that they're, I mean, and if they're saying this, this, and that, and they got proof, and they got this, and they got this, and it's just not this. This has been something that has been consistent and going on. Like, it fucking happened. I know it makes you sad, but you gotta get over it. Like, people can be bad people if they want to be and hide it and pretend to be something else. Maybe not even pretend to be something else. They just have two sides. They have a, you know, sweet, innocent, loving side, and then they might struggle with some demons that nobody really knows about. You know, so like I said, parents, you gotta believe your kids, child. That's pretty much it. I think, you know, and nobody. I do think that in marriages, what your spouse says is number one, and I do think that you should love your spouse more than you love your children. But when it comes to stuff like that, fuck that. You gotta go. You gotta go. We no longer together.
I agree with you too, Jen, to a certain extent, but I actually know a person who told me about an ordeal that happened with her when she was a child. She didn't like her stepdad. She said that he just used to pick on her, and he was just a horrible person, like, you know, in the child sense. Like, he had, when her mama yell at her, you know, he had stick his tongue out at her, like, you know, nanny and the boo-boo, you got in trouble, and shit like that. And one day, she got pissed off at him because, I forget the reason why, but she, like, straight yelled and told her mom, like, he raped me. And, you know, he didn't rape her, and he never did anything abusive to her, never did anything bad. And, that really fucked up her and her mom's relationship for a long time, because she said her mom knew that she was just doing it out of spite, but she was like 15 years old when she told her mom that, you know. And, she said that after the fact, maybe once she moved out, I think 4 years, she, like, finally, like, she broke down. She cried. She said she apologized to him in front of her mom. And she was like, you know, he never, ever touched me. And I just feel so bad for saying that. I just didn't like him at the time, you know. So, I mean, that was some deep shit. I remember when she told me about that. I'm like, that's crazy, you know. But, yeah, she was like, she just hated him, you know. And so that's, I feel like that's why a lot of people, they get shit twisted. But that was in the middle of an argument where he was, like, making fun of her. And she's like, well, he raped me. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that's when mom was just like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know, and so then, you know, like those years later, she said she also wrote him a letter. I remember he actually passed away maybe about 10 years ago. So that was crazy. But, yeah, shit like that really do happen with parents. They don't believe their kids, and then when the kids are lying about it. I just feel like it's you should go deep into the situation. Don't just let it hang over your head. Don't just, you know what I'm saying, be like, oh, it didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? Actually listen to your child and what the fuck they're trying to say. If that shit makes sense, you know what I'm saying, it just makes sense. If it's going to ruin your happiness or not, it makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are a lot of times where parents, they just don't listen to their kids because they got their own shit going on. Like, but parents need to always ask their children, too. I feel like that's another issue. You know, I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I always ask my son, hey, this and that, another, woo, 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 blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe once a month. Because, hell, I want to be on top of it. I need to know if I got to beat a bitch ass. You know what I'm saying? So, for real. Mm-hmm. But you just got to be on top of that shit. Well, with that being said, you guys are going to go on to our final topic of the evening.
All right, y'all. Last topic. No, just kidding. This is also to the shade room. Khalil Green has made history as he becomes the first Black student body president elected at Yale University. When Khalil starts classes this fall, he'll be entering his junior year. Recently, he sat down with Fox 5 to talk about the historic wins means to him and what he plans to do in post-college. When asked what inspired him to be involved with the student government, he said, "So I was on the student government for the past year. Coming up to April, when it's time to run, I felt like I wanted to amplify the voices of the underserved communities on campus, especially students of color. So being the first Black president, I feel like I'm in a position where I can really do that." He continued to talk about how his win symbolizes how Yale University has made progress throughout the years, but also mentions that the school still has a way to go. "I think we can be more diverse and inclusive on campus, and I'm grateful for the role that I'll have to make it happen," he said. Khalil, who is currently majoring in economics, talked about whether or not he sees himself in politics, and said, "I'm still in that phase in college where I'm exploring my interests. So maybe law school, maybe business school, maybe both. I'm not sure right now, but I'll decide in the upcoming years." What do you think about that, Ms. Angel Vondrina?
Yes, I think it's amazing. Good job. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. You know what I'm saying? This is big. You know, this is amazing. Yale, are you fucking kidding me? That's what's up. You know, I'm happy that he was elected president, and I hope I see him in the future. I hope to see him do positive things and, you know, use this right here as a stepping stone and possibly a platform to be even bigger and more successful and possibly be, you know, another president, maybe the president of the United States. You know, that's really amazing. And to be a president, a Black president, and a a college and university like Yale is absolutely exceptional. So he deserves a round of applause. That was amazing. What are your thoughts, Jim?
I agree. I think that it's freaking awesome. Like, and, you know, shout out to him for handling that, taking care of that. I think that is so dope. And
mm-hmm.
I really don't feel up. I don't know, like, what, you know, presidents can really do as far as, like, student body presidents, what power they really have. But hopefully he does bring more inclusiveness. You know, maybe he'll bring, like, more, you know, black-oriented situations to happen, you know, on campus, maybe, like, during their, I don't know, if they with their homecoming, maybe inviting black artists and, you know, just making it more, like, so people can really understand our
diversity training.
Yeah. No, because I feel like a lot of times, which sucks, but when you are the black person in a room, you kind of have to, you know, show people, like, you know, or not, I don't know, because I don't want to sound crazy. I want to say, like, show people the right way or the right things or act a certain way. But I think that it's your job to correct and to let people know, like, that we are people. Like, we're not what y'all think. You know, we're dope. We're beautiful. We out here, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
I agree. I agree, you guys. And with that being said, we're going to go ahead and move on to our confession question of the day. Okay, guys, confession question of the day. If you're in a relationship and your partner, after some time of being together, mentioned that they're too tired to have sex, what does that mean to you? And how long is too long to go without sex? Jean, what are your thoughts? First of all, how long is too long to go without sex?
How long is too long to go without sex? I definitely feel like a week. A week is, like, insane. Like, that's just, like, I'm probably going to argue with you and, you know, be ready to fight, you know. what was the other question that you asked?
And so the other question is, if you're in a relationship and your partner after some time of being together, so you guys have been together for 4 or 5 years, and, you know, now, you know, they've been working or things have changed, and they're like, nigga, I'm trying to go to sleep. I'm tired. I'm too tired to have sex. Like, what does that mean to you?
I mean, I get it, because sometimes I'm tired. It doesn't happen often when I'm like, I'm too tired, but, you know, sometimes it is, like, when it gets to that, because I work a lot. You know, like last week, I worked like 6 days. So, you know, when it gets to that late, and I'm just like, well, you ain't got to get up in the morning, but I got to get up in the morning. You know what I'm saying? And it's 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, you know, we done passed that threshold. We was going to do it. Now, if it's been, you know, 3-4 days, then fuck it. I'm just going to deal with being up late because it's been 3-4 days. You know what I'm saying? But as far as if that happens all the time, then no, I don't think that's okay. Like, I don't think being tired is an excuse, because we all tired if it happens every time. But I get it every now and then, because motherfuckers do be tired. Like, with, you know, my fiance, he works, he in school, you know, so I get it. Niggas be tired. I work all the time. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Well, what do you think?
Yeah, I think 8 days is definitely too long to have sex. And I say 8 days because I'm a woman and I have a menstrual cycle. And so, you know, obviously every month I go through a certain period of time where, you know, it's on. And so, but once it goes off, it's like, all right, if it's not that next day or that same day it goes off, like, all right, like, where's the issue? Because I'm about to get ready and box the motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So I say 8 days is too long.
Right.
Being with my husband, we are sometimes too tired to have sex. We got twins that are about to be, like I said, 1 year old next month. We have a 6-year-old. We both work full time. and we're both in school full time. So it gets difficult, but like you're not about to be too tired to have sex like for 2 days like in a row. Like that's not happening because we got 5 a.m. You know what I'm saying? We got 12 a.m. Like it's gonna happen. So I feel like you know like.
So
yeah, 2 days, like on a. Wait, what?
I said, so y'all, you said 2 days, and you're not going to be too tired for 2 days?
Like, you're not about to be tired for, like, 2 days, like, in a row. Like, no. Like, so it would be like, okay, so say it's, like, Monday, like, oh, I'm too tired. Like, Tuesday, like, oh, I'm too tired. But, like, Tuesday, like, okay, Tuesday night you may be tired, but, like, Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, something may be popping off. Or, you know, Wednesday, you know, night, something may be happening. Because if we going Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we got the whole entire issue, nigga. You ain't that guy getting tired. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, nah, like, that's 3 whole days? No, That's the problem. That's a problem. And my period ain't on, too. We got 21 days to get it popping before my period come back on. So, you know what I'm saying? So, I'm just like, yeah, no. But we have a whole schedule, like, not like a sex schedule or no shit like that, but, like, with the kids, that like, we lay them down at a certain time. We eat dinner at a certain time. So, like, when we go to bed, like, if we can get to bed, like 11 o'clock at night, which is kind of rare. You know, we usually go to bed, like, 12 o'clock in the morning. Most nights, like on work nights, we go to bed like 12 o'clock in the morning most of the time. Get up around 6 o'clock in the morning or earlier because the kids, they usually wake up between 3 and 4. So we probably get up around 4 and then get up again around 6. You know what I'm saying? But like, hell, any of those times would do shit. So it's like, you're not that damn tired. You know what I'm saying? I don't give a damn. We've been together for over 10 years. Like, motherfucker, I'm getting what I need. Otherwise, I'm going to be walking around this motherfucker with a whole entire stanking-ass attitude. You know, the attitude going to be so stank, it's going to be like, what's wrong with you? I smell the attitude. Like, what is the problem? You know what I'm saying? The problem is, no. So, yeah, in my opinion, 8 days is too long to go without sex. And if you're too tired, motherfucker, a couple days, 2 days, two days should be, you know, maximum. Other than that, I feel like maybe it's a problem. Like, you know, maybe something else is going on. You're jacking off too goddamn much. I don't know what the problem is, but, you know, get it figured out because I want some of that. I want some of that. All right? All right, y'all. Well, enough of us being nasty, okay? With that being said, we're going to go ahead and go to our confession question of the evening. I'm just kidding. We're going to go into our confession, what we're confessing our love for. So, love confessions, Jen. What might you be confessing your love for June 2nd of 2019?
Well, piggybacking off of When They See Us, which I am on, like, almost finished with the third episode. It's a really good show. Check it out, like I said. But I want to confess my love for a particular actor. His name is Jarrell Jerome, a Dominican actor, just so talented. And I had no idea, like, because I saw that his breakout role was in Moonlight. He played the young version of one of the characters. And I watched I watched little parts of Moonlight, but I'm not watching through and through. So I don't remember seeing him, or maybe he's just gotten older. But when I tell you, like, this motherfucker had me like, oh my God, like, he's incredible. Like, you know, it's just like with Lupita and Us, like watching like Lupita and Us, like you could tell like when people are just classically trained and they're just really a talent. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and his character, he plays Corey Wise, who was, like I said, the one who had it hard, you know, who, I mean, they all had it hard because they were in prison, but it was like four of them that kind of stuck together. And it was Corey Wise, who was not even implemented in the beginning, but he went to protect one of his friends, you know, and ended up getting the worst because he was older than him. He was 16 when the rest of them was like 14 and 15. So he ended up getting tried as an adult. And I'm going into adult prison, then maximum security prison, Then they said he was in solitary confinement because, you know, fighting and shit like that. So, but it was just like just watching him. And I was just like, oh, my God. Like, and his mannerisms and stuff like that. I was just like, wow, he's incredible. Like, his eyes and, like, him just talking. And, you know, I was just like, a few times I got teary-eyed. I was just like, damn, that is just fucked up what they do to our people. Like, it's just sad. But anyways, that's what I'm confessing my love for, Jarrell Jerome. What do you confess your love for this week, Ms. Angela Montrini?
Well, guys, I mentioned it more than several times this evening, but I'm going to go ahead and confess my love for my little sister. She's turning young 24, and I'm super excited. Can't wait to hang out with her in a couple weeks, and happy birthday to you, baby girl. I haven't always been the nicest sister. While I was younger, I actually did not like that I had a younger sister. But over the years, we've gotten really, really close. And, like, I really call on her for everything, really. Like, you know, she's a good person. She's very educated. You know, she will give you really great advice, whether it's, you know, working on what to do with the kids or how to communicate with other people. She is fearless, and she's just a great person. And I just want to say, Angelina Ravonda Davis. Yes, a whole entire name. Love you very much, little girl, and happy birthday to you. With that being said, guys, we're going to go ahead and end our show this evening. Thank you all for tuning in and listening to us this evening. You all can expect to hear from us next Sunday at the same time, 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern. And we want to hear from you, so don't forget to like, comment, rate, and subscribe. Tag us in the drama. And don't forget to send us those confessions at confessionsnumber2us@gmail.com. This is your host, Angel Bondrina.
And I'm your host, John Othello, and you're listening to the one and the only Confession.
Aw, that was
Good night, babe.
Good night, weakling.
I'm weak.